Verse 17, by Daber Hashem el Moshe lemor ve'osiso kior nechoshes, tells you how to build the kior, the wash basin. Now, you notice that the wash basin and the Mizbeach HaKtores are the two vessels which are mentioned out of order. We observed last time that in Parshas Trumot Tetzaveh, the vessels which are mentioned are the Oroin, the Menoiro, the Shulchon, and the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outside Mizbeach. But, and then the Koyanim are assigned their jobs, and at the end, as an afterthought, in chapter 30, we have the obligation to build the golden altar, the Mizbeach HaKtores, and here, the Kior. This is one question, one problem. The second problem is a problem of the words used in Pasuk Yudches, V'asiso Kior Nechoshes, etc., etc. Venosato isoi ben oyel moyedu ben amizbeach. Venosato shomo moy. What is the translation of the words venosato shomo moy? You shall put there water. Now, how would you say it if I tell you build a basin, a wash basin, and put, what would be the word? Besoicho or boy. Either boy or besoichoy, not shomo. There, how would you say there? You shall put in the basin water. So how would you say it in Hebrew? Venosato boy or besoichoy moim. Why venosato shomo? There, it's not there. It's not there, it's in it, water. So the Meshech Chochma, it's amazing how he puts it together. But the Gemara says two things. What happens, for instance, if there is no shulchan? There is no shulchan. Can you bring the lechem upon him? Can you bring the showbreads? If there is no shulchan, can't do it, because it's the mitzvah of filling up the table, the shulchan. If there is no menorah, can you light oil? No, you need a menorah to light the oil. But there are two exceptions to this rule. The Gemara says that what happened if there was no Mizbeach HaKtores, there was no golden altar, would the daily incense still be brought? Yes, it would be brought in a fire pan in the place where usually the Mizbeach goes there. And the other thing that you would do is, what about if there is no wash basin, if there is no kior? The Koyanim still have to wash their hands and feet. Where would they do it? Shomo, there. So says the Meshech Chochmo. This is the reason why the Torah doesn't say Venosato Boi Moim. Because Venosato Boi Moim may imply something wrong, that you need the vessel, and without the vessel you can't use any water, and that's not correct. So that's why it says Shomo, there, as long as the place is right. And this gives us an answer, says the Meshech Chochmo, why the Torah writes it like as an afterthought. Both the Mizbeach HaKtores and the Kior are written like an afterthought. Why? Not because they are less important, because it happens to be that they are not conditional to the avoido, to the work, to the act that was done with that particular vessel. This is how the Meshech Chochmo interprets.
He learns the Shulchan from the Kior, or there's a separate word in the Shulchan that he learns that?
The Mizbeach HaZov, you mean.
Mizbeach
HaZov, it doesn't say, but the Gemara says it. But in the Kior, the word Shomo tells you that. Okay, let's go on. We'll skip now to the end of the Maaseh HaMishkon in chapter 31, Lamed Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Re'ei Korosi Beshem, Betzalel Benuri Bechur Benchur Lemate Yehudo, Vamaleo Yisoi Ruach Eloki. In order for Betzalel, the great architect, to build the Mishkon, he has to have Ruach Elohim, the Chochmo, Bisvuno, Uvedas. He needs Chochmo, he needs Tvuno, and he needs Das. So Rashi says, what is Chochmo and Tvuno and Das? In chapter Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, says Rashi, Bechochmo, what is Chochmo? Ma she'odom shoymeya dvorim me'acherim velomad. I teach a child, 2 and 2 is 4, and he understands it, and he absorbs it, he is becoming a chochom. In this particular point, he acquired chochom. What is bino? Bino is when in the information I don't tell him, I tell him some other piece of information. And he derives from the first piece of information another piece of information, that's bino. I told him 2 and 2 is 4. And then I ask him, so how much is 2 and 3? I never told him, and he figures it out on his own. If 2 and 2 is 4, 2 and 3 must be 5. He has bino. Bino, dobor mitoich dobor. This is what Rashi says. Ubetvuno meivin dobor miliboy mitoich dvorim sheloma. Of course, in mathematics, it's pure seichel. It's pure intelligence. But sometimes you have to use your, sometimes in order to derive one thing from another, you have to use your heart, your emotions make a difference. So that's why Rashi calls it liboy. So what is das? What is das? So in general, before we read Rashi, I'll tell you how das is usually translated. Das is judgment. What does it mean, judgment? Even after you have all the pieces of information necessary, let's say the surgeon, he acquires all the information which is necessary, he knows everything that there is to know, and now he has to make the decision. Should he operate or shouldn't he operate? So now it's not enough to have the information. Now he has to give relative values. For instance, if I operate, he may become well, but on the other hand, the operation may kill him. On the other hand, if I don't operate, he will not die from the operation, but maybe the sickness will kill him. So what is more important than what? Giving it values. So their intelligence makes no difference whatsoever. It's the scale of values that matter. How important to him is human life, etc., etc. That balance, that balancing act is called da'as. Now, the greater your quality as a human being, the better your das is. Obviously, if you need a scale of value, so who should we be a greater bal das? The one who is a better human being. By chokhmo, it has nothing to do with how close to God you are. You can be completely far away from God and be a great chokhmo. You can be a great maven. You can have a tremendous mind, and you are able to derive one thing from another. But das, you can only have das if you have a scale of value. What is the highest level of this scale of value? This is what Rashi says. Ubedas, ruach hakodesh. When you can think in terms of what God would really want you to do, to the point that you can actually pick up what God wants you to do. That's having Ruach HaKodesh. What does that mean when a person has Ruach HaKodesh? That he has insights into the will of God. That is Das. This is why Rashi calls Das is Ruach HaKodesh. So this Bezalel, when he had to make decisions, he made decisions that actually he was able to pick up what God's will was, as we are going to see, that's already in next week's portion of the week. And then he goes on to say, Posuk Dalet, Lachshoiv Machshovois. Now, we have said everything that there is to say about Bezalel. He has Chochmo, he has Bino, he has Das. What is this Lachshoiv Machshovois? So Rashi says, Lachshoiv Machshovois has to do with a certain skill of weaving together certain things. But you can't get away from the simple meaning of Lachshoy Machshavois. What is the simple meaning of Lachshoy Machshavois? Thoughts. Thinking thoughts. What does it mean? So, Cheshevoeipoid, yeah, right. So there is Cheshevoeipoid, of course, does mean that there was a certain skill in the weaving that was called Cheshev because it required a Machshavoy. But we even spoke out when we spoke about the Cheshev Ho'eifoi that it had to do with the Machshove of Avodah Zorah, the Misaki Machshove. So where is Machshove? What does Machshove have to do with this? It says in a Midrash the following. when people gave gold, right? So they gave gold. So I gave gold, you gave gold, everybody gave gold. I gave wool, you gave wool, everybody gave wool. But the wool and the gold and the silver, they went to different places. Some gold went into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and it went straight to the Oren Kodesh. Right? Some gold was used for other things. Was there any connection between the giver and where the material that he gave ended up? It says in the Midrash, yes, that Bezalel had such an insight that when he received, when he would pick up a piece of material, he would know exactly this piece of material belongs in the Kodesh Kodoshim, on the Oren. What does it depend on? You know, what was he picking up? He was picking up the thoughts of the giver at the time of the giving. The purer the intention, the purer the thought, the less of an ulterior motive, the more worthy the piece of material is to be a part of the Kodesh Kodoshim. Where is it hinted in the Torah that skill? Lachshoiv machshavos. That Bezalel was able to be choshev, to think about the machshavos of the giver at the time of the giving. This is where it's hinted. Let's go on Pasuk Yud Beis, because this is already the end of the chiyuv to build the Mishkan. And now in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe lemor, Ve'ato daber of Bnei Yisrael lemor, Ach eshapsoi say tishmoiru. But sure, you're building the Mishkan, but be careful, don't be Mechal Shabbos, keep the Shabbos. Says Rashi, what is the connection? What does it mean? Ach, even though you want to build the Mishkan, it's not Toiche Shabbos. Even though it's very important, it's not Toiche Shabbos. This is what it means when it says, Ach, eshapsoi say tishmoru, keep the Shabbos. Why? Because it's a sign forever. For what? Lodas, that you should know. Ki ani Hashem mikadishchem. I am the one who gives kedusha, who gives holiness. So I saw in the Sfasemes very, very amkesdike insight, a very profound insight. He says the following. What does it mean? Because I am the sanctifier. Ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. In order for Hashem to sanctify something, to make something kodosh, Hashem has to have an input into it, which means something which is made by Hashem can be sanctified by Hashem. What about if you would believe, like Aristotle believed, that space and time is eternally old? You know, the Rambam in Moreh Nebuchim brings down the opinion of Aristotle that the oilom kadmoin bu, the oilom, the world, which means time and space, is kadmoin, is as old as God. Aristotle believed in God, but he believed that time and space is as old, are as old as God. What do we believe? We believe that even though we can't conceptualize it, God created time and space. Breishis bore Elohim doesn't mean only God created in the beginning. Breishis bore Elohim actually means God created the beginning. That before there was a world, there was no time. So what was it? I don't know. But there was no time. Time is something that Hashem creates, which means that time is not an absolute. Time is not eternally old, and space is not eternally old. Lemainach kemine, what difference does it make? Enormous. If time and space are eternally old, there couldn't be any kedusha, any holiness, neither in time nor in space. Why? Because the sanctification of either time and space reflects God's input into time. If God creates time, so there is a trace of that creation in the fact that God consecrated, sanctified time. What is the trace of God's creation that sanctifies time? Shabbos. Shabbos is the sign that God is a sanctifier. Okay? Now, what would be in space the parallel of Shabbos in time? The tabernacle. the Mishkan, or eventually the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim. So what comes out according to this? That both the Mikdash and Shabbos are the both signs that God created both space, Mikdash, and time, Shabbos. This is why we always find an interconnection between the Mishkan, the Mikdash, and Shabbos. They always go together. Like, for instance, Es Mikdash Aitiro V'Shabsoi Saitishmoiru. Or here, we finish telling you to build the Mishkan immediately, but be careful, don't transgress Shabbos. Again, together, and it's more. How do we know what things not to do on Shabbos? Because they did it in the Mishkan. Again, the interconnection, because essentially, they are the same thing. What? Ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. It must have a connection with Hashem in order to be Kodosh. If time and space had no connection with Hashem, they couldn't possibly be Kodosh. This is Fasemes inside. Then it says like this. In Posuk Tesvov. Sheishes yomim yeose melocho. For 6 days, yeose. Doesn't say ta'ase, like it says In Parshas Yisro, for instance, Sheishes Yomim Ta'aseh Melachtecho Ve'Yimashvi Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecho. It says Sheishes Yomim Ye'oseh Melocho. What is the difference between Ta'aseh and Ye'oseh? Ta'aseh is active. You shall do work. Sheishes Yomim Ta'aseh Melachtecho. 6 days you shall work. If it says Ye'oseh, Ye'oseh doesn't mean you shall work. What does it mean Ye'oseh? Work should be done. Okay, so what would be the exact translation of Sheishes Yomim Ye'oseh Melocho? For 6 days, work will be done. Uvayoyim Hashvi'i Shabbat Shabbosoin. What does it mean, Shabbat Shabbosoin? In Parshas Yisro, it doesn't say Shabbat Shabbosoin. Over there, it says only Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecho. What is Shabbat Shabbosoin? So Rashi says, what is Shabbat Shabbosoin? In Posuk Tesvot. Menuchas Margoya. What does it mean, Menuchas Margoya? An actual tranquility. Rokua, tranquility. Veloy Menuchas Aroy. Menuchas Aroy means you work, you are tired, you rest. That's not what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is much more. It has to be something Margoya, something deeper. Not only the negative state of not working. It has to be an actual positive state of tranquility. Says the Torah Tmimo, it's an amazing thing, a beautiful observation that Torah Tmimo makes. He went through the Torah Tmimo, every place in the Torah where this when the Torah speaks about Shabbos, and he found the following rule. Whenever the Torah says Ta'ase melachtecho, Ta'ase, you shall do your work, the Torah concludes with Uvayoy Mashvi Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecho. Once Shabbos. Whenever the Torah says Yei Oseh Melocho, work shall be done, then the Torah writes Shabbos Shabbosoin, a double language of Shabbos. Why? So he comes up with a beautiful explanation. Why? Because the point is like this. Some people in this world are physical workers. Bricklayers, farmers. So for them, how will the Shabbos be sensed? How will you experience the Shabbos? If you stop working, it's Shabbos for you. Right? So when you say Ta'aseh Melocho, who are you describing? Sheishes Yomim Ta'aseh Melocho. We are talking about the somebody who digs ditches, somebody who farms, somebody who does physical work. So for him, he can fulfill Shabbos by just not working. Shabbos, Shabbos, stop working. But there are some people in the world who don't work during the weekday either. What does it mean? They're intellectuals, people who sit and learn, people who study philosophy. I mean, they're intellectual. That their work is completely intellectual. So they don't do physical work. So what about physical needs? It's done for them. Yeyoseh. So all they have to do during the week is make sure that somebody does work for them. How will they experience the Shabbos, says the Torah Tmimo? If the Shabbos is only not working, they can't feel the Shabbos. I take out this book during the weekdays, I take it out on Shabbos. In what way is my Shabbos different than the weekdays? So for such a person, there is no choice. He has to find a deeper level in Shabbos. He has to find Shabbat Shabbosoy, Menuchas Margoya. You hear how he learns? He learns that the Torah is describing two different types of people. A physical worker, for him it's sufficient just not to work. But someone who is an intellectual worker, so in what way will the Shabbos be different? It has to be Shabbat Shabbosoy. But in reality, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that the reason why sometimes in the Torah it's written Ta'aseh Melachtecha, and sometimes it says Ye'oseh Melocho, is because we are talking about two different eras in Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael Oisim Retzoinoy Shel Mokoim, when the Jews are at the level that God describes them as doing the will of God, Melachton Nasis Alidei Acherim, work will be done for them. So we are describing a higher level of Klal Yisrael. So that higher level of Klal Yisrael will reach Shabbat Shabbosoy. But when it says Ta'aseh Melocho, when it says that you shall do work, what are we describing? A situation when we have to do work. When we have to do work, that means that our spiritual level is lower. If our spiritual level is lower, then the Shabbos is not so high. It's not Shabbat Shabbosoy, it's only Shabbos. Okay? So, this is what many Meforshim say. This is brought down in the Meshech Chochmah, it's brought down in the Sfasemes, it's brought down. This difference between, it's based on Chazal, between Oisim Retzoinoy Shel Mokoim and Ein Oisim Retzoinoy Shel Mokoim. So, according to this, what will come out then? It will come out that whenever it says Ta'aseh, it's not describing the highest possible level. The highest possible level is Ye'yoseh Melocho. How would you expect the first Luchos to be, what would it be? What would you expect to find in the first Luchos? Ye'yoseh, wouldn't you expect to find the Ye'yoseh Melocho in the first Luchos? Remember, the first Luchos is when the Jews are in the highest possible level.
When they went there, surely they had to live.
Sure, but when that's because they broke the first, Moshe broke the first Luchos, and they went down from that spiritual level. But during the 40 days, they were in the highest possible level. So therefore, sure it's said Ye'yoseh. According to this principle that we are saying, what the Gemara says, that when the Jews, Oisim Retzoinoy Shel Mokoim, they don't have to work, work is done for them. So of course, in the first commandment, you should find the Ye'yoseh. Surprise. You don't find the Ye'yoseh there. There it says clearly, Ta'aseh, Sheshes Yomim Ta'aseh Melocho. And according to the principle we just said, it's contradicted. You hear the kasha? I'm reading from Parshat Sisro. Chapter Chof, Zochor Esyam Osav Lekachoy, Sheishes Yomim Ta'avoid Ve'osiso Kol Melachtecho. Sheishes Yomim Ta'avoid Ve'osiso Kol Melachtecho, V'yoyim Hashvi Shabbos Lashem Elokecho. Ta'avoid Ve'osiso Kol Melachtecho is not Ye'yoseh Melocho. Right? So that contradicts what everybody, what the Meshech Chochmah says, what. So, I found that the answer is the following. You know, in the Meforshim it says a reason why when the Jews are in a very, very high spiritual level, God doesn't want them to work, and work will be done for them. What would possibly be the reason? Is there anything wrong with physical work? There's nothing wrong with physical work. God wants people to do physical work. So why is it that when the Jews are in a very high spiritual level, it doesn't go together with working? Why? Because, say the Meforshim, the Torah obligates us a melus betoiro, which means working very hard to find out what God wants us to do. somehow when a person is completely immersed in trying to find out what God wants him to do, there is no time to work. It's just too time consuming. Therefore, the Torah must allow you to enjoy benefit from the work of other people. There's no choice. Not because there is something essentially wrong in working. Hear this. The reason is because there is simply no time if a person is completely immersed in Torah to do other things. Not because doing other things is essentially wrong. What about if I tell you that this whole concept of amelus betorah, which means working extremely hard to find out what God wants you to do, is a concept which started after the second glucose. Again in Chazal. If Hashem would have just given us the first luchos and not the second luchos, you know how a Jew would find out the solution to any of his Torah problems? You know what it says? You would look at the luchos, and the light of the luchos would be the answer to any question you have. That's what it says. The first luchos were, since they were inscribed with the hand of God, what does it mean? That anyone who had the level, the spiritual level, to actually look and see the words, he would get the answer to any of his problems. That's what it says. The Jews didn't maintain that level, so the words disappeared. The Jews weren't able to reach the level of seeing the words. The words flew away, so to speak. And the second luchos were already inscribed by Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it says it was the writing of God, but it was chiseled by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. That, what does it mean? That in order to reach the Emes, you have to work yourself. You have to work yourself. So from the second Luchos on, it becomes a necessity. You really want to reach a high level in Torah, you have to work hard. Yogati umotzosi. Only after you really work hard, then you can get whatever you get. You hear this concept? So it comes out according to this. When will the concept that if the Jews are in a very high level, they don't have to work, when did it start? Obviously, only after the second luchos. Because after the first luchos, there was no concept of amelus betorah, of having to toil in order to derive Torah laws. Because according to Chazal, you can look at the luchos and get the answer. So by the first luchos, is there still room to work and serve God at the same time? Sure. This is why by the first luchos it says tavoid v'osiso kol melachtecho, and there is no contradiction to the fact that in the second luchos already, once you reach a level of oisim retzeno shalmokoim, and you have to work hard to get to the truth, there is no time to work. So therefore, both are correct. And therefore, there's no contradiction the fact that by the first luchos, it says, tavoid v'osiso, and it doesn't say, yoseh melecho. Okay, one, yeah.
As far as that going into practice is concerned, our greatest rabbin also worked, as well as studying. They were on a much higher level than we are now.
Not necessarily. You know, it's a machlek, like it says, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler, Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker. Right? So there are many, many Mefarshim who say that he was known as Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker because before he became the famous Rabbi Yochanan, he used to be a shoemaker. So that shows that there is nothing wrong with being a shoemaker. But once he became the famous Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't allowed to become a shoemaker, because it says that anyone, a parnes amemune ala tzibur, he should not work, because that cheapens his status by the masses. Right? And even the Rambam says that when a person reaches the level of notvor ruchoi, when he's completely immersed in Torah, such a Jew doesn't have to work. Even the Rambam. The Rambam is the greatest exponent of this point of view, that every Jew has to work. But he says, but when a person is completely immersed in Torah, even the Rambam agrees that he doesn't have to work. Let's go on now to Posuk Yudches, the last Posuk in chapter 31. Vayitein el Moshe kechaloisoi ledaberitoi. And when Hashem finished speaking to Moshe, Behar Sinai, he gave them Shnei Luchoy Soedu. So on the surface, just on the surface, what would you say? When is this happening? That Hashem gives him the Shnei Luchois and tells him, go down. Which date was it, chronologically? Which date is it exactly? Remember. What?
6 months later.
Can't possibly be. Remember, why? 40 days after Shavuos. Dear. The Luchos weren't given in Shavuos. That's a mistake that everybody makes. The Luchos weren't given in Shavuos. What was given in Shavuos?
Aseret
HaDibros. Now the Luchos... Here, it's a mistake. Everybody thinks that Luchos were given on Shavuos. Incorrect. The Aseret HaDibros were given on Shavuos. Seventh day of Sivan. So when were the Luchos given to Moshe? Here, take him down to the Jews. When was this? Shivoser Betamos. 40 days later, Shivoser Betamos. Clear? So this posuk, chronologically, posuk Yudches. After he gave him the course of 40 days, he tells him, here it is, go down. So which date is it? Shivoser Betamos. So Parshas Trumo, Tetzave, and the beginning of Nisiso must have happened between which dates and which dates? Between the 7th of Sivan, Shavuos, and Shivoser Betamos. Clear, true. When else? It has to happen before Shivoser Betamos, and obviously it happened after Shavuos, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu receiving from Hashem. So, obviously, Trumo Tetzave, the beginning of Kisiso, is going on within this 40 days. Clear? Wrong, says Rashi. Take a look in Rashi. Most of you fits. Vayiten el Moshe, says Rashi, don't pay attention to the chronology here. Ein mukdom u'me'uchor betoiro. Don't pay attention to the chronology. The Torah is not following here the chronological order. Now, listen carefully, because it gets a little bit difficult. And how Rashi proves that the Torah couldn't have possibly been following the chronological order. Why? Because Maase o'Eigel koidem letzivui meleches ha'mishkon. Because now we are starting with the story of the golden calf. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he sees the golden calf. And Maasev Amishkon must happen after the golden calf. How? We know when the Maasev Amishkon happened. Sheharei biyud zayim betamuz nishtabru aluchos. When were the luchos broken? On the 17th day of Tammuz. That's one of the five reasons why we fast on Shivoser Betamuz. And after that, Moshe Rabbeinu, when was he given a second chance to go up to Har Sinai again after Shivoser Betamuz? A month and a half later. You know when he goes up the second time? Rosh Chodesh Elul. And you know when finally Hashem accepts the apology? Yom Kippur. 40 days later. And you know what happens when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down Mimochoros the day after Yom Kippur? What commandment does he give the Jewish people? To build the tabernacle, to build the Mishkan. And the Mishkan is built the first day of Nisan, already almost the second year. You hear? Right? It was completed the first day of Nisan, Hanukkah HaMizbeach. Period. Now, if you have my Chumashim, I don't know other texts, but our Chumashim here have a parenthesis right after that. And in this parenthesis it says the following, Tzorich Iyun, Tumo. Whoever wrote it, we don't know exactly who it is that the printers added to the Rashi, but it must have been something so important that they said, well, we can't skip it. So I don't know if it's not, but in many of the Chumashim, you have an addition. Because it says, sorry, we don't understand this Rashi whatsoever. Now, it gets a little bit complicated here. How does Rashi know that the Torah is not in chronological order. Maybe it is in chronological order. What bothered Rashi? What was the basis for Rashi's decision that the Torah is not in chronological order? Because we know when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews to build the Mishkan, when is that? The day after Yom Kippur. When did Hashem tell the Jews to build the Mishkan? The day after Yom Kippur. And that's long after the Eger. So why couldn't it be simple that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the details of the Mishkan when? Before the Eger. When did Moshe Rabbeinu say it to the Jews? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say a word. Once the Jews built the Eger, Moshe Rabbeinu kept quiet and he waited with a saying over until the day after Yom Kippur. You hear this? If so, there is no problem with the chronology at all. Parshas Trumot and Tzave are only telling you what Hashem told Moshe. When did Parshas Trumot and Tzave become known to the Jews? True, after Yom Kippur. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew it before the Egel. I just want you to understand the question which he asked. Now, this is just such a strong question that he doesn't give an answer. No answer. We remain with a difficulty on Rashi. Rashi made up a distorted chronology, and we don't understand what forced Rashi to do it. Okay? The same question Ramban asks, and Ramban just says, no, it's not like Rashi, and the truth is that there is no problem with the chronology at all. Trumot and Tzave were given to Moshe when? Between Shavuos and Shivosor Betamuz. Then comes Maase Oegel on Shivosor Betamuz. Then comes Vayakhel Tkudei, which is the fulfillment of the Mishkan, and that comes out when? After Yom Kippur. Are you following the chronology? It gets a little bit complicated. Clear? So that's the Ramban. So the truth of the matter is that whoever wrote this addition didn't realize that Rashi just follows his opinion, which is the same opinion as the Ramban, which is the same opinion as the Sifornim, which happens to be the same opinion as the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah, the Shmoish Rabbah, right here on the spot, if you open up any Medrash Rabbah on any part of the Mishkan, you will see something of this sort. I mean, I didn't bother bringing it, but I mean, anywhere. Why did Hashem require so much gold for the Mishkan? Because the Jews misused the gold by building the golden calf. So let the gold that was misused be used for the Mishkan. What do you see clearly? The whole Mishkan was given as a rectification of the sin of the golden calf.
What could it be?
Sure, but if so, if that couldn't be. Which means it is machshavah. But in reality, Moshe would have known the refuah before the makeh, then the makeh becomes a necessity. I mean, Hashem is taking away the free will of the Jewish people. It's impossible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, once we accept that the Torah, that the whole idea of the Mishkan is just to rectify the sin of the Chet HaEgel, so obviously it can't possibly be that there was it followed the chronological order, right? And many more things. According to the Medrash Rabbah, and there's something that we believe, that when did the avoido of the Bechoirois cease? When did Hashem take away the avoido of the Bechoirois? The avoido was for the Bechoirois. When? After Maase HaEgel. When are the Kohanim assigned? Before the Maase HaEgel. So that proves again that what? A mukdom a mukher batoro. We have here a distortion, a chronological distortion. A mukdom a mukher. That's Rashi's opinion. Fine, so the Ramban is a whole shot, but I'm just telling you that according to Rashi, it's no problem at all. We have no problem with Rashi. Rashi's opinion is like the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam in the Moira Nebuchim says that the reason why the Jews were commanded to limit their korbonis only in the Mishkan is because they couldn't be trusted to bring korbonis outside of the Mishkan. Why couldn't they be trusted? Because look what they did with their Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. They built an eagle, so they couldn't be trusted. So what do you see from the Rambam? That the Mishkan is given as a way to make sure that the Maase HaEgel is not repeated, so it has to be right after the Maase HaEgel. Okay? So Rashi Shit is 100% clear. And of course the Ramban Shit is a different Shit. The Shemi Shmuel says that if you pay attention, it's true, he brings down the Midrash Rabbah. And he says that the Midrash Rabbah is clearly like Rashi, except that the Zohar consistently is like the Ramban. So really the Machloikah, the Ramban in Rashi, is the Machloikah, the Midrash Zohar with the Midrash Rabbah. The Midrash Rabbah is clearly like Rashi, that everything that was built in the Mishkan is only a rectification of the Chet HaEgel. And the Midrash Zohar is clearly the Ramban, that the Mishkan would have existed anyway, and it has nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel. It just became used for a rectification of the Chet HaEgel afterwards, but the original application preceded the Chet HaEgel, okay? So, alright, so we'll stop here.